Numbers 25, and I want you to really pay attention and give your thoughts and minds and hearts to what we're going to look at today. Numbers 25, you know what we've been looking at concerns Balaam and Balak and Moab, and how that Balak tried to get Balaam to curse Moab, and God wouldn't do it. He told him three times, and that was it. And so Balaam smote his hands together and said, "Well, flee to your place. I thought to promote you to honor, but God's kept you back from honor." And Balaam is getting ready to go, and he pronounces that one last prophecy of all the things that God is going to do to Moab and the other nations in the latter days. But then we pick up now in chapter 25, and we find something happening. And what we're going to find out is before Balaam left, you see, listen, he saw that money sneaking away from him. And he said, "Look, I can't curse them. God almost took me out for doing that. God almost took me out for being presumptuous here. I can't curse them. But let me tell you, Balak, what you can do." And he's going to give Balak some counsel. And ultimately, this ends up hurting Israel, hurts Moab, and Balaam ultimately will lose his life. And it's got a lot of bearing on how things all go today with the saints of God. There's a lot of things to glean from this. Won't you take your Bible, look at Numbers 25, and look at verse 1. Stay with me this morning. It says, "And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bow down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel." Father, thank you for your word. Teach us, guide us, direct us, and help us, Father. Help us to glean from these passages and know where and how to apply what you show us. And Father, we ask these things according to thy will in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. A lot of people, brethren, are going to die because of this. A lot of people of the children of Israel die because of what takes place. You see, listen, and I'll kind of sum it up and then tell you about it. You couldn't curse God's people. You couldn't curse God's people. But if you get them to sin, then God himself will take them out. And it's the same thing for us, brethren. We're blessed by God. If we're saved, we're secure. But brethren, look here. If God's people indulge in sin, then God will chasten his own. God will step in and deal with that thing. And see, Moab was worried about the children of Israel. And so what happens is Balaam counsels Balak to get him to sin. And God starts taking them out. Let's pick it up though. Let's take it bit by bit. Notice what your Bible says. Verse 1. "And Israel abode in Shittim." Alright. If you look on a map about where this is, it's in the land of Moab, which is modern day Jordan. The area that they're in, it's getting close to Israel. It's close to the promised land. It's getting close to where you can, Moses is going to die nearby, not too far from here on Mount Nebo, and he's going to be able to see into the promised land. Okay? And notice, but we'll get into a little bit of that later, but notice something. They were where they were supposed to be. So it ain't like that they were disobedient by being there. They were where they were supposed to be. The cloud and the pillar had not moved. So it's not that they're in the wrong place. They're where they're supposed to be. Brother, listen. Just because you are where you are supposed to be does not mean you will be without temptation. Okay? I mean, they're committing whoredom with the daughters of Moab. Now we might say, at first, they shouldn't have been there. Whoa. They're where they're supposed to be. They're in the right place. God, the pillar hadn't moved, the cloud hadn't moved. They are where they're supposed to be. But brethren, even being where you're supposed to be doesn't mean you won't be without temptation. They were where they were supposed to be, but they should have stayed in the camp. You understand? The encampment was where it was supposed to be. And brethren, you know, God will have the saints. God will have, listen, our churches in the world. But you better stay in the church. You better stay in the camp. Take your Bible, go to Genesis 34. Genesis 34. Temptation is out there. It is out there. You better stay in the camp, stay in the things of God. Genesis 34, look at verse 1. And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. What happened? Well, now I'll say this. We won't go into all of it. You can go back and check it out. Jacob wasn't where he was supposed to be. Jacob was supposed to go to Bethel, the house of God. He stopped short. He was almost there, but he stopped short. And we've said this before. Guys, when we stop short of full obedience to God, our families are going to suffer. When we stop short of full obedience to God. So he stopped short. And you know what Dinah did? Listen, Dinah is like any young person. She wanted some companionship. She wanted some fellowship. And so she went out to see the daughters of the land. But the daughters of the land are not like her. They're not like her. They're different. She had function and purpose and use there in the camp. And listen, young folks, one of the things the devil's going to try to do to you, he's going to try to make your life look boring, look routine, and he's going to try to make the world look so enticing. He's going to try to make you think that others have something you're missing out on. He's going to try to get you to feel like, well, I don't have fellowship, and I need fellowship with others. Listen, let me tell you something. God knows what you and I need. Amen. I mean, listen, if Abraham had listened to the world, he'd never had Isaac. Can't you just hear the world saying, Abraham, you're 100 years old. Come on, yo, codger, what's wrong with you? I mean, who is Isaac going to play with? You going to get out of here and do things? I mean, what quality of life can you give this boy? You need to do better than this. Come on. But you know what, brethren? God knew that Abraham would give Isaac what he needed. The things of God. Listen, is that not what you hear often when you try to raise your children upright? You're just secluding them. You're just keeping away from social interaction with others. You see what the devil does? He throws that out all the time. Brethren, let me tell you something. I got a lot of social interaction in public school. And it wasn't good. It wasn't good. I learned to cuss. I didn't know how to cuss till I got in the second grade, really. That's when I learned to cuss. I didn't know how to do that. I didn't know about that. I didn't cuss in my home. I learned to do it at school. Grabbed up on it and picked up on it, and there we go. I mean, I should have, but I'm telling you what happened. And I'm telling you, look here, that I wasn't saved. And you know what? I mean, come on, man, second grade, I would be 6, 7, 8 years old. And you got little guys you meet up with, huh? And you want to take and you start getting, and next thing you know, I learned to cuss. Hey, well, some of the boys in the neighborhood, I got exposed to my first dirty book. I mean, I'm telling you, folks, look here now. Look here, you know what? And I remember it vexed me because I was like, that ain't right. I remember so to the boys in the neighborhood, we was all out playing, and they said, come on, I'll show you something. And there was an old house that had been used for a feed barn, and up at the top, they was hiding dirty books up there. And I do remember that. I was like, let me tell you something. Glory to God, I'm glad. I wasn't interested in it. I was like, that ain't right. That ain't right. And you know what? I remember some of the kids you hang around with, same kind of thing. So boy, a lot of good stuff. Ah, folks, come on. But the world says, yeah, but you need. I needed that. I didn't need that stuff. And listen, that's the same kind of stuff the world uses on you to tell you, yeah, well, you know, your kids are going to have to take. Listen, the devil's trying to get in and tell you, you need to see these things. You need to be exposed to that. Come on, everybody in this room, you got things stored to your computer you wished wasn't there. And you long someday for a new body when you get that stuff's gone. You got to say before, you're going down the road having a good day and everything, and boy, yep. Stuff comes in your head to try to take and just, you don't need that. Dinah wanted some fellowship, and she went out to see the daughters of the land. Verse 2, and when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and defiled her. He raped her. Who got raped? It wasn't the daughters of the land, was it? It was her. See, I think there's sometimes a perverse desire that the devil puts into the lost. When they see someone pure and right and different, they want to defile that. It's like a challenge. It's like a thing. I want to defile that. I want to just take it. And so that's the thing. So look, you go out here to fellowship with the daughters of the land. And what's going to happen is you're liable to be the one that gets the raw end of the deal. You're liable to be the one that gets in a big mess because you are different. They can see that, and there's just this desire to corrupt that. The devil drives so much of this. And he goes and tries to, and he'll try to play on a pity thing of, you know, where you're just not getting fellowship, or you're just not getting, or you're lonely. Doing right sometimes will bring a loneliness. But we just, Luke had a sing this morning. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. No, I mean, we sung about this. So wait, is it a song or is it real? Is it just a song? None else can. Sticks closer than a brother, you know. We sing about there's none like the lowly Jesus. Brethren, is it real? Come on, is it real? It's a song. So often we act like it's just a song. That means something because there's going to be times we feel like we don't have a friend in the world. We're going to feel lonely. And you go to the Lord and He understands. He understands. Young folks, look here. You need to let the Lord be your friend. Your Lord, your Savior, and a friend. He understands. He's there to succor you if you'll let Him. But you know, it's the same kind of lines today. It's the same kind of stuff, you know. The devil will throw that on you and tell you. He'll tell you all kind of things. But they're not getting social interaction and how they're going to deal with things and how they're going to... Let me tell you something. A child of God, someone believing the Bible and living on the dictates of Scripture, can handle anything better than what the world throws out. Now, come on, brethren. Look at so many folks that have been out there in the world. They can't handle things. They've never learned self-control. They've never learned self-restraint. They've never learned discipline. Those are the things that help you make it in life and deal with the storms of life. They don't learn that. It's a lie. And you better not buy into it. And kids, don't buy into it yourself. Don't. Well, I know how the devil holds it out to be enticing. But he's lying to you about it. He's lying. How many ruined lives and marriages took place because of you tried to pretend something was what it wasn't? Somebody says there's something they're not, and it don't work. It doesn't. Let me tell you something. You get out there and you get out and about, you're going to develop a relationship. And there's going to be a strong bond that develops, and it's going to be hard to break. And inside, you're knowing this person is saved, or they're not where I'm at spiritually, but you're like, but. And then next thing you know, it happens all the time. It happens all the time. Look here. Stay in the camp. Let me say this to you. God knows when you are strong enough to resist temptation. Did you know that? God knows when you're strong enough to resist temptation. You see, He didn't let Israel see certain situations when they first came out of Egypt. They weren't ready. They weren't ready. And as long as they followed that pillar and that cloud, God would never lead them somewhere they couldn't handle by His grace. Do you understand me? God would never lead them as long as they followed into something they couldn't handle. Oh, now, He led them into spots of trying and testing. Sometimes famine. Sometimes He led them into some spots. But it was things they were ready for if they would do right. You understand? God won't lead you in a situation you can't handle through His grace and His might and His power as long as you follow Him. But whoso breaketh an hedge, according to the Bible, a serpent shall bite him. You get out on your own, and you get out of the will of God, the things of God, you're going to get yourself in a fix. Oh, young girls, listen to me. Of course, we're all subject to vanity. We are. We're all subject to vanity. But you need to be aware of it. You need to be aware that, listen, here you are, maybe there's a couple of girls together, maybe it's saved girls, it's right girls, it's right, and you're together, you know, and you're somewhere, you know, and maybe you're getting some ice cream, or to the mall, something like that, and some guys come by. And they're maybe not being rude, maybe not being crude, but paying some attention or eyeing you. You like that. You can't help you like that, that's flesh. We're all subject to vanity. Well, what happens is, if you're not careful, they come over and they say, "Hey, what you guys? What y'all want to go for? We're going across the street. Why don't y'all hop in the car with us and go?" We're not supposed to. But they seem like nice guys. I don't know what could happen. Oh, the next thing you know, you're in a spot. Sweating bullets and praying to God to get you out and promising God all kinds of promises and vows to Him and you'll never do again and, "Oh God, help me, please deliver me." You got yourself in a fix. By being in the wrong place, by yielding to the temptation to be vain, I'm just telling you, stay in the camp. Be so careful and be aware of how we are subject to vanity. We like attention. Our flesh likes being noticed. You've got to be aware of that and check it. And check it. And listen, and let God develop in you attitudes that are correct and right. So that's what the world does. The world thinks this. In fact, the world says, "Oh, it's all right to get a little attention. It's all right to tease them just a little bit." Oh, really? Some guys aren't teasing. They're not playing. They're serious. You understand? And it's not alright to do that. It is wrong to do that. It's not alright to tease a little bit, to show a little bit, to cut the eye or to be. It's not alright to do that. You're playing with fire. There's guys out there, they're not playing around. They're serious. All right, and then it's too late when ruination comes. All right? God's got mercy and He's got grace, but the scars and some of the effects. I'm just telling you, please don't fall prey to what the devil's telling you when he's lying to you, telling you you're missing out on this, you're missing out on that, and others are having fun, and you're just this, and you're just that, and you're just you know a lot of people. You know a lot of folks are okay till someone tells them they're not. Did you know that? Did you know a lot of people are happy until someone tells them that they shouldn't be happy? Yeah. Yeah. I'm oppressed. I never knew it till now, but I'm oppressed. Yeah. I'm beat down. Wow. I never knew it. I was happy this morning, but it's so liberating to know how beat down I am. I've been set free. That may sound ridiculous, but that's a lot of how it is. I'm serious. You're fine till someone puts this illusion in your mind and tells you you're not what the things are, and you buy into it. Anyway, let's go on and look. Numbers 25. Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. Listen to me. What couldn't be done with swords will be done with whores. You see, Moab could not beat Israel with swords. So they're going to use whores. And then God's going to step in. And He's going to chastise Israel and plague them. They're going to start dying like flies, man. What couldn't be done with swords will be done with whores. It has been said that the saints are more endangered by the charms of a smiling world than by the terrors of a frowning world. There's a lot of truth in that. Saints are more endangered by the charms of a smiling world than by the terrors of a frowning world. The one, you know what you're getting. You're ready for it. But the other, it's deceiving. It's deceiving. Take your Bible, go to Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs 7. How did they mess Israel up? What got them in a fix? Whoredom. Whoredom. Whoredom got them fixed. Proverbs 7 verse 1. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law is the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing the way through her street near her corner. And he went the way to her house, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot, and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now, boy, ain't that wild. Check that out, man. Look how the Bible describes a whorish woman. Not just her dress, but she is loud. She's loud. You know what the world does when it sees a loud woman? It encourages her. It laughs at her. It laughs at her and says, you go, girl, you go ahead. You tell him. You're going to take that stuff. You know what? A lot of men will encourage that, but they wouldn't have you for nothing. They might lay with you and use you. They wouldn't have you. You understand me? They wouldn't have you. Like I said, they might lay with you. They might use you. And they might encourage you. Why? Because you are entertainment. They get a kick out of it. Oh yeah. You guys know what I'm talking about. You see in a workplace, military, whatever, you got a loudmouth woman. Guys, you're a long time to get. Oh, you tell them. Oh, man, you tell them, girl. You ain't gonna put up that stuff. They're laughing at you. Because they know they can get you going. And they just, your entertainment. Your mockery. She's loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now, that's interesting. This is a whorish woman. She can't stay home. She has got to be always on the go. Now she is without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. Ain't that wild, man? Don't tell me that Bible ain't up to date. They still work the corners, don't they? Ain't that wild? Look at that. Back then, still today, they still work the corners. So she caught it. I mean, look at her, man. She caught him and kissed him. And with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. In other words, well, she's a good church-going girl. In other words, I paid my vows. I have peace offerings with me. I keep the law. She accomplishes sacrifice, the things of the temple, the things she's supposed to, you know. Let me tell you something. Some of the most vile and whorish young girls and women you can find in churches. That's the truth. That's the truth. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. Oh, yeah, right. You've got to be kidding me. Any man that's a little seasoned, I believe that knows, go away. Knows that stuff ain't true. You know who she's praying on? Look at verse 7. A young man, void of understanding. She knows he's wet behind the ears, and he is subject to flattery. And when she tells him, where you been? I've been looking for you. And he turns, you know, and you know what? He believes it. See, he may swagger and he may think he's a man of the world. He ain't been tested yet. He ain't been out there and he's subject to vanity too. And he believes it. Oh, yeah. He knows how to swagger and talk, but he's never been tested with it and he believes it. He blushes and he's like, whoa. Oh, he's set up for the kill. He is set up for the kill. Verse 16, I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry. Gentlemen, a right woman don't talk to another man about her bed. Privately in that kind of manner. In a tempting way. With carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. And finally she just gets down to it. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the good man is not at home. He is gone. Well, she don't make no bones about it. She's married. She tells him, but she said, he's gone. He's gone a long journey. Yeah, right. You believe that. You can't believe that. How many a man has either been put in jail or killed because of this right here? Oh, really? I'm going to kill you both. I don't care if I go to jail. I don't care if I go to prison. I don't care if I get... You're both gone now. I'm telling you, through the years, it has happened. For the good man's not home. He's going a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. Oh, yeah, right. Business may end up quicker than she thought. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. Well now, Brother Doss, I don't think it ought to be worded that way. I think you need to leave God's word alone. I think if the Holy Ghost says, caused him to yield and forced, you better leave it alone. It's showing you, God is trying to show you the power of speech. Amen. God is trying to show you the power of speech and flattering and tempting words. They are powerful. He goeth after her straightway. I can't help it. The picture I get. Look, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the... I just get this picture of, honestly, a dumb lumbering ox. Just follow on behind. Just follow on behind to his destruction. Look here. Till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men. Hello, Samson. Have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Young men, that's why you need to read Proverbs. That's why Proverbs needs to be gone over. Young men, you need to read that. So you know what? So that when you ever encounter that woman, you know what's going on. So when you run in to that woman, you know what's going on because your Bible has told you. You've not got the experience, but ding, something goes off in your head and you're like, whoa, this is what Proverbs 7 is talking about. Okay, I need to get out of here. Amen. Amen. And so, girls, so you won't be such a woman as Proverbs 7 speaks of. Listen, the Moabites, go back just a minute, go back now to Numbers 25. We all are subject to vanity. Don't kid yourself. We are. Every one of us, as long as we got fleshly bodies, you are subject to vanity. And the devil knows how to play upon it. That's why if you have an honest, but if you have an honest evaluation of yourself, we'll use that word, then you won't be taken by it. You're like, look, come on, get out of here. You're up to something. If you have an honest appreciation, evaluation of yourself, if you're not lying to yourself and trying to be something that you're not, you're less subject to vanity and flattery. Look here. Numbers 25. Israel, verse 1. Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. Now, I want to tell you something about this. The Moabites were close kin to the Israelites. They were. Because the Moabites were through Lot. Moab was Lot's son by Lot's daughter. It's going to be good someday when sin's gone. Amen. It's going to be good someday when sin is gone. It's going to be so good someday when sin is gone. That's one thing about the Bible. The Bible just paints the picture. And here you think about Lot. The New Testament says Lot vexed his righteous soul. A righteous man, according to the New Testament, but it shows how far away a man can get. Lot, who had it so good in the Lord at one time, ended up drunk in a cave getting his daughters pregnant. Goodness, it's horrible. And to the Moabites, the Ammonites come from. But they were kin to the Israelites because Lot and Abraham were brethren. Abraham was Lot's uncle. They weren't, listen, they were kin to the Israelites. Listen to me, people, listen to me. The Moabites were not Egyptians. But neither were they Israelites. Okay? The Moabites were not the people that Israel had left behind. But they weren't Israelites neither. Lot had been a righteous man, but the Moabites were idolatrous. I'm telling you, brother, be careful. In Egypt, that's your picture of the world, but these Moabites, they're a little kin there. Brethren, you better be careful from those who try to claim a kinship with you as far as religious beliefs, but yet they're not what you are. Do you understand? Egypt, we know, the world, you know what I'm saying? But be very careful about those Moabites. Those that have a little kin to you. A little kin to you. Maybe groups out there who have a little kinship maybe in what they believe. But brethren, but yet so much else of what they believe is not how you believe. You better stay away. Well, you know, I was asked to go to this youth outing. I mean, you know, they believe in Christ. They believe that there may be a little kinship, but there's liable to be so much worldliness and so much other stuff. You better stay away from it. You better stay away from it. Better stay away, not just from Egypt, but from Moab, from the Moabites. You understand? A little bit of kinship there, a little bit of common ground, but so much that's wrong. Well, how did they get together? How did they get together? How did the Israelites and Moabites get together? I mean, Israel was where they're supposed to be, but how did they get together? Well, they met at high school. They met down at the mall. They met at a concert. They met at a youth rally. You understand, right? Don't you see, brethren? Israel's where they're supposed to be, but they got out of the camp and they got to meeting together. In fact, brethren, this thing about a youth rally or a youth group or something, maybe you say, well, they believe kind of what we believe. But listen, but there's so much that they don't. And you know, because what they got to do, they invite them to their sacrifices too. To their sacrifices. Look at verse 2. And they called the people unto the sacrifice of their gods. And the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. So let's look at the first one. They call the people unto the sacrifice of their gods. Ecumenism. Multiculturalism. Political rallies. Sporting events. Things like that. Rallies. Listen, even some good things. An anti-abortion rally. Brethren, I'm against abortion. But brethren, you be careful about a rally you would go to that puts you together with people that maybe you agree on that, but there's so many other things you don't. Well, you know, Brother Dawson, I mean, I'll ship them off to a Christian college. What? What? That's telling to local church. You know what kind of mess are we? Let me tell you something. I've seen what goes some of the Christian colleges. Brethren, it's just a stone's throw from what goes on with the world too. Now, that's a fact. And I told you, I you know what? Lance, the chaplain, Brother Neil, good man. I remember Brother Lance, a good man. I remember probably 20 years ago, Brother Lance stood in a meeting and he said, let me tell you something. So y'all better be careful about sending your girls off to a Christian college to try to find a husband. He goes, I know a brother. He sent his girl off to Pensacola Christian College looking for a husband. Said she found a guy. The guy had all the right answers. Seemed real good. They got married. Come to find out, the guy's Calvinist. been a mess. And he said, let me tell you something. I know it's so. He gives because I'm the man. I appreciate his honesty. I appreciate him wanting to help others. Not fall prey to the same kind of thing. But folks, look here. You got to be careful. They called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods. Come on. Come on with us. You know, let's find some common ground here. Let's find some common ground we agree on. Let's find some things. And then they got them. Oh, brethren, look here. Be so very careful. Go to 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11. Brethren, there is a brand of Christianity today that's contrary to the Bible. Brethren, there is a brand of Christianity today that is contrary to the Bible. Brethren, it will amaze you the number of public figures, sports and entertainment, who will tell you they're believers. They'll tell you they're believers. Brethren, what they put forth has no more alignment to what the scriptures say a Christian is supposed to be than a man in the moon. Brethren, the Bible says they were called disciples first. Then they were called Christians by the world because they were like Christ. They're Christ-like. That's how it's supposed to be. Brethren, I'm telling you, there is a brand of Christianity today that is foreign to the scriptures. Our Lord is soon to return. And if He doesn't, we know He's coming back. But I'm saying if He doesn't soon in our lifetime, we're going to go by the way of the grave. But the Bible says judgment must begin at the house of God. We better be looking at ourselves. Because we're going to face the Lord. We are going to face the Lord. Look here. 2 Corinthians 11, look at verse 4. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Brethren, the words may be right, but you've got to find out what's behind the words. Catholicism, Mormon, they'll use similar terms to what you use, but they mean something else. And you've got to find out what they're really meaning with what they say. Go to Hebrews 13. Notice they call them unto the sacrifices of their gods. Brethren, let me tell you something. Nobody likes to watch an athletic endeavor more than me. I do. I like pure athletic endeavor. I do. I don't like the junk that goes on with something. I think cheerleaders are useless. Listen. In this sense, not just by the way they dress, but nobody pays attention to them. They don't. They dress ungodly. And brethren, who pays attention to? Whatever. What I'm saying is, listen to me. I like. But if it's just a pickup game, I hear somebody. I like to see athletic endeavor. I just like that. I like to see somebody make a good play or do or show athletic prowess. I like that. But listen to me, brethren. What sports have become today have become a worship service. An idolatry. There's getting ready to take place. I reckon it takes place in February. That event, you know, called the Super Bowl. But from what I have heard and gathered, it is nothing but a religious event. Seriously. It is just ungodly, the things that take place in those halftime shows and things like that. Listen, think about it. They call them to the sacrifice of their gods. Do you not think that some people look at those sports heroes as gods? They do. Sports gods, entertainment gods. Look, take your Bible, Hebrews 13, verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. Praise is a sacrifice. It's supposed to be offered to God. You know what they'll do? They'll start a wave. They'll start a wave that goes around the auditorium or whatever. The Bible speaks of a wave offering to God. And they will start, brethren, they are worshiping their gods. Now that's the truth. That's true. It gets to that level today. Not just it used to be like an athletic endeavor to, and used to in a way past, they would use sports to teach working together, to teach overcoming things. Brother, it is an idolatrous thing. It's getting back to the forum in Rome, bud. It's getting back toward the forum in Rome to where it was almost like a gladiatorial event. And you know what people want a lot of times? They want blood. They want blood. They want blood. They want death. They want just bit by bit. Anyway, they call them to the sacrifices of their gods. Brethren, we've got to be careful who and where we spend time and associate with. Because barriers get broke down. Brethren, the believer should never have an elitist or holier-than-thou attitude. We should always remember we are just sinners saved by grace and have compassion for the lost and reach out to them. But brethren, we must be careful when we break a barrier of fellowship and participation because barriers get broke down. Go real quick. It says in Numbers 25, they called the people on the sacrifices of their gods and the people did eat. Go to 1 Corinthians 10. You know there's something about eating. You know there's something about a meal. There's something about it. I mean, the Bedouins over in the land of Israel. Yeah, if you're an enemy, but if you come to a man's house and eat a meal with him and break bread with him, you're under his protection. Even if you are his sworn enemy, you are safe. In 1948, when the Jews and the Arabs fall over Jerusalem, there was a young girl, a Jewish girl in a village that got overrun. And the Arabs overrun it. And she ran to hide and two Arabs grabbed her and drug her off to the trees. And you know what's getting ready to happen. They're getting ready to rape her. But the thing of it is, the two bozos got in a fight with each other just about over who's going to rape her first. All of a sudden, she hears, boom, 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 boom. She hears a machine gun blast and they're dead. They fall at her feet. And she looks up and there's a Jordanian, an Arab Jordanian enemy soldier. But he's a soldier. He's been trained. And he's standing there and he throws her out of his pack some bread. And he says, eat that. And she eats some of the bread. And he says, now, come here. You're under my protection now. You're my captive. You're my captive, but you're safe. You're under my protection. And he took her away. Yeah, she's a captive. But she didn't get killed. She didn't get raped. In fact, he killed those two Arabs who were trying to rape her. And when she ate something that he offered her, he said, now, you've broke bread with me, you see. You're under my protection. There's something about a meal. Why does the Bible say if you break fellowship with somebody, if the church has to exercise discipline, what are you not to do? You're not to eat with them. There's something about it, brethren, when you eat a meal with somebody, you're breaking over a ground. That binds you to someone. Eating that meal. What was his name? Bob Childress, preacher up in the mountains. His wife used to get on to him and said, Bob, you go in them cabins at mealtime all the time. He goes, Lila, Says, you know what? Eat a meal with a man and you got a friend forever. There's something about that. There's something about breaking that ground. And it's true. So you've got to be careful who you fellowship with in such a manner like that. Look, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. If you're walking in the will of God, God will not let you be tempted above what you're able. It's like one brother said, when faced with a fiery temptation, look for the fire escape. It'll be there. If you're in the will of God. If you're trying to walk in the will of God. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as the wise men, judge you what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered as sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Rather. And we know that you take like Roman Catholic Mass. That's devilish. That's idolatry. Because they say that that host, Jesus Christ, is in that bread. No, he's not. When the true church, when we take the Lord's Supper, we say that's symbolic. They say that is the literal body of Christ. That's a lie. That is a false, idolatrous doctrine. All right? But brethren, just in another sense, think about it. Isn't it something how idolatry, sports, and eating go together? Look what's come today. Look what's happens today at many big sporting events, especially football. The big thing is what? The tailgating, the big meal. That's almost like a big thing. You know, you get that together and the drinking starts and then you get in. It is a worship thing. It really has elevated to that kind of thing. Listen, brother, the reason I'm bringing it up, brethren, be careful of things that tie you in with fellowship to the world, that pull you in with fellowship with the world. Be careful. Be careful. That's what happened here. Barriers get broke down. Because you know what? You start thinking, well, you know what? Well, they're not too bad of people. Well, no kidding, man. There's probably a lot of lost people out there that, sad to say, are more decent people than we are. But they're not trusting Christ for salvation. Now, that's a shame. That's a shame. But you're going to run into sometimes some lost people that are more decent than saved people. And that's shameful. The difference is the believer is trusting the finished work of Christ alone. And they're not. Here's what happens. You run into somebody that's a Mormon. Ain't what you come away thinking probably? That's a nice guy. No kidding. Nobody said that he wouldn't. He's probably a very nice guy. Well, yeah, and he seems so family oriented. No kidding. No doubt. But he's, you know what? He's always been fair at work. And he's, well, no kidding. Some of the guys, I'm a Mormon guy I worked with, you know what? As far as on a working level, I thought the world of him. He's a great guy. He was trusting a work salvation. He did not believe in Jesus Christ according to the Bible. He did not believe that Jesus Christ is God. That man was going to hell and believed hellish doctrine. But I was a super guy. Don't you see? That's the danger, brethren. What happens is, and you're going to have to work with people and be associated. Of course you are. But when you break down barriers, and you start inside, you're like, you know, man, they're nice. I mean, maybe he don't exactly believe what his church believes. Maybe he's really safe. You'll start making excuses. I'll know. Start going on vacation with them. Start spending time together. Next time your kids are married and you're a mess. You think it don't happen? It happens. It happens. Brethren, look here. That's why, look, we teach our children. Brethren, if you teach your child, he's a Mormon. No. Then what you teach them, hey, no doubt, very fine people, very nice people, very nice people. People, but their beliefs are deadly. Their beliefs are demonic. Their beliefs are against Scripture. So that, because if you don't do that, if you don't prepare them, what happens? They got this thinking, Mormon, Jehovah's, you know, and then find out, well, they're just like me. Yeah, they're nice people. In fact, he's a better worker really than I am. I need to do better. So then you start thinking, well, there maybe what they believe in is. Give an example of breaking down. How many of you remember used to be the chief of police in Charleston, Reuben Greenberg? Okay, black guy, Reuben Greenberg. He was a Jew. He became a Jew. Wild fella. Okay, look here, Reuben Greenberg, black guy, Jew. Reuben Greenberg was educated at University of California, Berkeley. If you know anything about radicalism, Berkeley has been a hotbed of radicalism through the years. He was at Berkeley. He was protesting one time. I think in the 60s, early 70s, he was protesting, all right, and the police were there, and they were calling him names, and all that stuff was going on. You know, and that's, you know, he was there during that. And a thunderstorm came up. Well, you might have a thunderstorm comes up. I don't care who you are, you run for shelter. And so what happens is, he's under a shelter with some policemen. And somebody cracks a joke, and everybody starts laughing, and he said for the first time, he thought, well, these guys are normal. They're not pigs. These guys are normal. And something started clicking with him. Now, in this sense, it was a good thing because he realized, instead of them becoming a radical, The man went to law enforcement. Of course, he may have been a radical law enforcement guy. But anyway, now ain't that something? I'm talking about barriers get broke down. You understand? And brother, if all you do is look at somebody, they're this or that, they could probably be very nice people. It's what do they believe? What are they trusting to get them to heaven? And what does Scripture say? Be careful, brother. I'm telling you, when you associate, barriers get broke down. You understand? That's why the kid, hey, but they asked me to go to this, they're having this church youth thing, and I mean, you know, and they believe in Jesus. Yeah, but what else they have in there? What kind of music is going on? What kind of other stuff is put forth? See, if you start breaking down barriers and fellowshipping, you're going to start liking somebody, you're going to make excuses for them, you're liable to end up getting, I'm telling you! It happens. It happens. It happened with Israel. To their destruction. Alright, real quick. Go back down. Look at what it says in Numbers 25. Verse number 2. And they called the people on the sacrifice of their gods and the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. You want a god in the dictionary means any person or thing exalted too much in estimation or deified and honored as the chief good. Go to Philippians 3. Philippians 3. Philippians 3 verse 17. Oh, you can have all kind of gods. Philippians 3:17. Brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. Amen. When you've got somebody that walks according to strict Scripture, what you do? Mark them. Note them. And try to follow that example as they follow the Bible. For many walk, of whom I've told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their what? Belly. And whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. But for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice something, brethren, back in Numbers 25. Notice it says in verse 2, or verse 1. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom. Verse 2, and they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bow down to their gods. Notice the people, the people, the people. And meaning the Israelites. The Israelites. You know, the Bible speaks of the church, that we were not the people of God, but now we are. Now we are. And what they do with the people, they got them to sacrifice to their gods. They did eat and bow down to their gods. They committed whoredom. And notice what it says in verse 3. And Israel joined himself unto, just a little bit more. Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor. Baal, that's false god. Israel as the true God is now joining himself to Baal Peor. But here's the interesting thing. You know what Baal Peor means? Baal means Lord. But the wrong Lord. In fact, the Lord says when he comes back, they're not going to call him by the name of Baal anymore. Interesting, in Israel today, a husband is called Baali. Baali, meaning my Lord, my Lord. But Baal means Lord. Peor means opening. So look at this. Baal Peor is Lord of the opening. Lord of the opening. Let me say this to you. If you have an opening, make sure it's from the right Lord. Okay? Someone says, I think I got an open door. You better make sure the right Lord opened that door. Ask yourself a question. Will the opening you think you have lead you to being more or less spiritual? I just got an opportunity. It may be house, job, position, promotion, whatever. Okay, it may be of God. It may not. Ask yourself, is this thing going to draw me closer to God and more spiritual? Or is it going to take me away? Baal Peor, Lord of the opening. I don't think all openings come from the Lord. Be careful. All right, look here. Then it says in real quick, go to Psalm 106. I want you to see this. Psalm 106. Psalm 106. Psalm 106, verse 28. They joined themselves also unto Baal Peor and ate the sacrifices of the dead. Thus they provoked him to anger with their inventions. And the plague break in upon them. They provoke the Lord to anger what? With their inventions. The word invention in the dictionary means the action or operation of finding out something new, a forgery or fiction. Let me ask you something. Do your inventions draw you closer or further from God? Do they bless or provoke Him? Something you need to ask yourself. We got a lot of inventions today, don't we? Let's say they're all bad. But you need to ask yourself, is this invention bringing me closer to God, closer to my family, or is it pulling me away? Is this invention making me sharper, or is it dulling me? Does it bring me closer, or does it consume my time? Does it make me better to others, or does it make me rude? What do you mean, preacher, make me rude? Well, I don't know. Look here. If it's all day long in the company of others, I've heard of people, they say you get on public transportation and everybody's... I understand it's a tool. To be honest with you, it's a tool that helps me out a lot. I don't take phone calls in public places. I've told you my hearing is not good and I end up yelling. My family's made fun of me. I do. I yell on the phone. And I'm bad for it. And poor Brother Chris, one time we was talking to Brother Truel on Skype. I blew the man's ears away because it was a computer. I cannot get myself out of it. And so he's down in Honduras, right? And he said, well, you'll talk to Brother Truel. I said, hey, Brother Darren, how you doing? And he told him later, said he about blew his ears off. I cannot break myself with that. But also it's hard to hear. So I enjoy being able to talk. And that saves me a lot of... And any of you know me, I'm not a telephone talker anyway. I'm not. I like to get the point. What we're doing about? Boom. Y'all have a nice day. Y'all have a nice day. Let's go. I am not a telephone talker. Even my family. I'm just not a telephone talker. So hey, there's some things. Great. It's fine. Works good. But brethren, I tell you what. Better be careful though. Not only what it can lead to, but it can also lead you to being a rude person. Can't fix your character. Ask yourself: do your inventions draw you closer or further from God? Do they bless or provoke? Well, how did all this happen? How did Israel get in this spot to where God is plaguing them and they're dying? How did this happen? Go to Revelation 2. Almost done. Revelation 2. Revelation 2 verse 14. So what we're reading about with Balaam and Balak and Baal, what we're reading about has application to the church, because when the Lord Jesus is speaking to one of the churches here, He brings this up. Revelation 2:14. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. How did this happen? It happened because Balaam wanted that reward, and he said, I can't curse him, but come here, Balak. Come here. What? What do you want? Just go on. You wouldn't curse him for it. Stop. Come here. What? Look, man, I'm telling you, their God's holy. Invite them. Look, man, go down there and be nice and invite them to church. Just invite them to church, man. Invite them to something you're having, or get, you know, and just get them. Hey, and those girls you got, you know, the ones that are, you know, let those boys see them girls and let them get to know. I'm telling you, next thing you know, they'll be laying with them girls. Barriers will get broke down. They'll start worshiping with you guys, and then their God will wipe them out. Are you serious? Well, you got to lose, man. Try it. And they did. And God did wipe them out. They were dying. And we'll see what happens. Look here. Go to Hosea 4. Here's how it happened. It happened by Balaam whispering in the ear. Hey, let me tell you something. The devil is still whispering in the ears of people today to do the same thing. He's still whispering it in. I mean, brethren, think about it. How are you going to take How are you going to take and curse what God's blessed? And God's blessed the saints. God bless the saints. The church. Told those born again. Well, if you can get them to sin, then God will chasten them. God will take them out. Look here. Hosea 4. Look at verse 13. They sacrifice upon the tops of the mountains and burn incense upon the hills, under the oaks and poplars and elms, because the shadow thereof is good. Therefore your daughters shall commit whoredom, and your spouses shall commit adultery. And look at verse 14. I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, nor your spouses when they commit adultery. It's like, Lord, you're not going to punish it. God, you're against this stuff. You've killed people for this before. What do you mean you're not going to punish it? For themselves are separated with whores, and they sacrifice with harlots. Therefore the people that doth not understand shall fall. God's like, you know what? You are hooking up with people that have false beliefs. You are fellowshipping with them. You are worshiping the way they do. That's who you're spending your time with. And you know what? Because of this, your daughters are going to become whores with them. And your spouses are going to commit adultery. And you know what? I'm not going to do anything because you're allowing it. You're allowing them to fellowship together. This is going to be a natural byproduct of it. And don't look for me to do anything. I mean, seriously, brethren, that is essence what God is telling them. Look, you want me to step in and do something, but you're doing what I told you not to do. You are spending time around that, and don't look for me to do anything. That's a serious matter. And it goes along with what we've said so many times from this pulpit. Brethren, don't look for God to do anything if we've not done what we're supposed to do. We've done what we're supposed to do, okay. But brethren, if we're not doing what we're supposed to do, and then we want God to step in, God will. We do what He's already told us to do in His Word. Now, how many times, brethren, when's God going to do something? Why didn't God do anything? Brethren, when we do first what He's already told us to do. When we've exhausted what we're supposed to do, His commandments to us, then I believe you can look for God and say, child, you've done what I told you to do. Step aside. I'm stepping in now. And you better look out. But Lord said, I'm not going to punish them. Because you're allowing them to fellowship and spend time around this stuff. You're allowing them to go and be around it all. And it's just going to be a natural byproduct. They're whoring with them. They're committing adultery with them. You're allowing them to spend time there, and this is what's happening. In fact, notice why they did it. Verse 13. They sacrifice upon the tops of the mountains and burn incense upon the hills under oaks and poplars and elms, because the shadow thereof is good. In other words, that's a lot of nicer building. They've got more programs and activities. It's more pleasant there. They got more bathrooms. They've got more this. I mean, honestly, you understand what I'm saying, don't you? Surely you see the analogy. Why did they go there? Why did they go with that worship at those places? The shadow was good. It's shady. It's pleasant. It's nice here. Brethren, those things are fine and dandy if God allows it. But that's not what matters. That's not what the emphasis is supposed to be. Yes, you can have a situation where the building is better and things are maybe more convenient and a lot of that. But brethren, those are a lot of things that feel good to the flesh. But where are the spiritual things? Don't you see the principle? The shadow there was good. Oh, it's shady. It's a nice, pleasant situation. Maybe up on a hilltop you can see, oh, this is good. But spiritually, it was horrible. And that's what we got today, brethren. Why do people all fit to pick a church? Got a lot of programs. Got a lot of the building, the grounds. It all appeals to the flesh. I mean, it does. It's easier. It's more pleasant. It's this. But that's not what matters. It's not what matters. Yeah, but you can get more people to what? To yourself or to God. Yeah, you can build a work by building something for God. Final thing. Go back real quick. I'm just about done. Let me say this. A wrong church can lead you to a wrong mate, and a wrong mate can lead you to a wrong church. Say it again. A wrong church can lead you to a wrong mate, and a wrong mate can lead you to a wrong church. Last thing, Numbers 25, verse 1. And Israel abode in Shittim. You see where they were at? If you look on a map, I've mentioned earlier, starting out this morning, that's close to the promised land. What are you saying, Brother Doss? I'm saying they were almost there. They were almost there. They can see it. They're almost there. And look what they give themselves over to and are dying when it's just a little bit more and they're there. Brethren, where you or I am at prophetically, we can almost see it. Don't stop now. And even if that not be the case, brethren, this life will end. Don't stop now! When the end is so close in sight and you can lay the armor down, don't quit now with victory just ahead. Amen. They were right. They could see it. Just a little bit more and they're going to be in there. And look what they did. Man! So close. So close. And yet gave themselves over to this. In closing, Romans 13. They were inside the promised land. Brethren, don't blow it this close to home. Pray for each other. Encourage one another. Help one another. Let's don't blow it this close to home. Romans 13:11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Don't blow it this close to home. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Father, bless your word. Father, work around and in spite of me. Please, Lord, bless your word. Lord, help us to take these things to heart. Help us to meditate on these things. Chew on them. Lord, please just help us to see how to apply what we've heard to our lives. Lord, help us. We know you said you would. We know you will. Lord, please help us. Help us to help one another and encourage one another. Lord, that we don't blow it. With the destination, with victory, with home in sight. Father, we ask this according to thy will in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.